It's good to see all of you. Good to have you here. And we weren't here last month. You know where we were? Jared and Crystal, you know Crystal, were in an automobile accident, pretty bad accident. They're going to be okay. But how many ribs did she break? Do you remember how many fractures?
11.
11 fractures in her ribs, and both of them fractured their sternum and had a lot of bruises and everything. And so that had just happened the day before we were supposed to be here. So we were in the hospital up there in the emergency room with Jared and Crystal. So we had to be there with them, and we had to miss being here with you. So we're glad we get to be back with you again. But keep praying for them. I know they would appreciate that. Last time we were here, we were looking at John chapter 12, and we looked at verse 25 and verse 26 of John chapter 12, and Jesus said there, I want to look at that just real quickly. Jesus said, whoever loves his life loses it. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Did you hear that? Jesus said, whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Now, that goes against the world's thinking. You understand that? We talked about that last time. It goes against the way a lot of people who call themselves Christians even think. And it's kind of sad because today a lot of people are taught to love yourself. To love yourself. That's what a lot of the commercials on TV, they say, you deserve this. And we're taught to love ourselves. But Jesus said, no, no, no. Do not love your life in this world. Jesus is saying, if your life is all about you, he said, you're going to eventually lose your life. That's what Jesus says. When we learn to think in terms of eternity, when we learn to think in terms of what glorifies God, then we learn it's not all about us, is it? It's not all about us. It's all about Jesus. And when we learn to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Jesus, then we learn that life's all about him. And when we learn it's all about him, we can rest assured that we're going to enjoy eternity with Jesus. So we make that decision. We're going to serve Jesus. We're going to follow Jesus. And verse 26, we looked at this last time. He said, if anyone serves me, he must follow me, and that's what we do. And where I am, Jesus said, there will my servant be also. That's where we'll be with him. If anyone serves me, listen, Jesus said, the Father will honor him. The Father will honor him. So if we want honor from God instead of from the world, if we're wanting honor from God instead of other people, if we're wanting honor from God instead of just honoring ourselves, we have to make up our minds we're going to serve and follow Jesus, not ourselves. And then in verse 27, this is where we're going to pick it up today. We're going to look at one verse today. We're going to spend a little time on it. Jesus said something that reminds us of what he went through in the Garden of Gethsemane. At this point in time, when Jesus said this, he was very, very close to the Garden of Gethsemane. So I want us to pray, and then we'll look at this verse and see what God has to say to us. Father, I want to thank you today. First of all, thank you for loving us. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for Jesus coming to the cross to die for us, to pay for our sins. And we thank you that you loved us enough to do that for us. Thank you for the springtime, Lord, when we get to remember especially the resurrection of Jesus. Lord, we just the other day celebrated the fact that Jesus didn't stay dead. He came out of that tomb alive, and he's alive forevermore. And glorified now, and we praise you for that, and we thank you that one of these days we're going to join Jesus in glorified bodies of our own. You're going to give us eternal bodies that will never get sick again. We're not going to have that old sin problem to deal with anymore. We're going to be with you forever, eternally, in glorified bodies, and Lord, we're looking forward to that, and we know it's possible and will happen only because Jesus conquered death on the cross. Jesus conquered Satan on the cross. Jesus conquered sin on the cross. And Jesus conquered the grave when he came out of that tomb and won the victory. So we thank you so much for this incredible opportunity we have to be in Jesus. Now, Father, we're looking at your word. It's inerrant. It's infallible. It's powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It's living. Your word is living, and you want to speak to our hearts, and you want to teach us something from your word today. So would you help us stay teachable? Help us to be open to you, open to your truth. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and convict and bring truth to our hearts and make us more like Jesus. Fill us with yourself and make us more like Jesus and help us to listen well and learn and grow stronger in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, Jesus said this after what we just read. He said this, "Now is my soul troubled. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I've come to this hour." This reminds us of Gethsemane because he's getting ready to go to Gethsemane. You remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, we see Jesus doing what he said here. His soul is troubled in Gethsemane. You remember that? He's agonizing in prayer. You remember that? He's praying and he's in agony in the Garden of Gethsemane. And it said this, he sweat like great clots of blood, sweating. You remember that? In the Garden of Gethsemane. It was very, very painful for Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. John doesn't actually tell us about the Garden of Gethsemane. Matthew does, and we can read it in Matthew 26. But John just says here that Jesus said, "My soul is troubled." And those words make it clear that Jesus is dealing with the awfulness of what he's about to go through. He's about to endure some incredibly horrific suffering. We can't really grasp what that was like. We really can't. But we can try, and one way we can try is to think about our own death. You know, we're facing death. All of us are. The statistic on death is one out of every one person dies. It's not changed. It's been that way since Adam. We all have to go through it. None of us have experienced it yet, but all of us will. And most likely, we expect anyway, that it probably won't be the most pleasant thing getting through it. You know, it may be difficult. We usually expect that we'll have to deal with some pain and some suffering as we go through this thing called death. And it may be kind of difficult. And normally we just don't look forward to it. I mean, death is an enemy, right? The Bible says that. Death is an enemy. It's just a defeated enemy. We don't have to be afraid of it. We don't have to be afraid of it. It's a defeated enemy. But there's a big difference in the way we face death and the way Jesus had to face death. There's a big difference in what we have to endure and what he had to endure. Because when we face death, now listen, when we face death with our sins forgiven. They're gone. Jesus did that on the cross for us. Our sins been taken away. When Jesus faced death, he didn't have any sin of his own, of course. But you know what he did, don't you? He took our sin and he carried our sin to the cross. And he had to endure the sin of the world when he was there on the cross. We cannot grasp what that means, but it was horrific. It was horrible. We can't conceive how bad it was. He had to go through that. We know that when we face death, when we go through the valley of the shadow of death, and we all will, we know he'll be with us, right? He promised he would. We know we've got a Father God who's going to be with us every moment. He's going to carry us right through that experience. He promised he would. But that wasn't true of Jesus. Remember what Jesus said on the cross? My God, why have you forsaken me? He accepted the wrath of the Father on himself for us. He paid for our sins that way. We catch a little glimpse of this when we look at what happened to Jesus just a few days before. If you remember back in chapter 11 of John, he stood at the tomb of Lazarus. Remember this? Lazarus had died. Now, Jesus knew what he's about to do with Lazarus. He's going to raise him from the dead, right? You remember that. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He was about to perform the pinnacle miracle of his ministry. Lazarus had been dead 3 days. He was stinking. His body was stinking. And Jesus is about to raise him back up. Now, if I think about that just as a human being, I might think, you know what? Jesus should have been a little jazzed about that. He ought to have been kind of pumped. I'm getting ready to do something awesome here. You would think he'd be looking around the crowd who's grieving and maybe about to break into a big smile thinking, just wait till you see what I'm about to do. You're going to love this. You'd think he would have that kind of attitude. But you know what? Instead, the Bible says he did. He cried. You remember? He wept. And then a couple of verses later, it says he groaned in his spirit. And we think, well, why, Jesus? Why are you weeping? Why are you groaning? You know what you're about to do. You're going to raise Lazarus from the dead. And we could imagine maybe him laughing instead of crying. Now, some say, well, what he's doing is he's sympathizing with these grieving friends. And maybe that makes some sense. I'm not saying that's not true. But maybe Jesus is grieving over the curse of death. Sin brought death into the world. And that curse has claimed Lazarus. Lazarus had died. And even though Jesus knows that Lazarus' family is going to be happy after Lazarus is raised back from the dead, at least for a little while, he knows it's not going to be long until they have to go through it again. Lazarus is going to die again. So are Mary. So are Martha. They're all going to die. Jesus knew that. And maybe Jesus was thinking about the horrific cost that he himself is about to pay. It's just going to be a few more days, and he's going to be hanging on the cross. He may be thinking about his own agonizing death. He's thinking about how horrible an enemy death is, and it causes him to weep. But we have to remember how much worse Jesus' death was than ours for him to bear, because we have him as a risen Savior to carry us through. He took the sting of death for us. So he asked a question out loud. He asked it in a way that his followers could hear what he was saying. They could hear his words. And he said, basically, how should I pray now? How am I supposed to pray right now? I mean, he knew what's coming. Should I pray? He says, Father, save me from this hour? Is that what I should pray? That's what anybody else would pray, isn't it? I mean, it's what we would pray. Lord, save me. Take me out of this awful situation. But Jesus says, no, I'm not going to pray that. Why not? He answers it. He said, for this purpose, I've come to this hour. This is why I came. I'm not going to ask the Father to take me out of it. This is why I came to the earth in the first place. It's a horrific hour. I'm about to face it. It's horrible, but it's why I came. It's why I became a man. So he says, no, I'm not going to pray that. This is what I'm going to pray. And when he does this, he sets an example for us. So let's hear this really, really well, okay? In verse 28, he says, Father, glorify thy name. Father, glorify thy name. That's his prayer. And then a voice came from heaven. And the voice said, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. And that prayer is something we need to pray, guys. We'll never be in the situation Jesus was in. That was unique for Jesus. But we will go through trials. We're going through them now. We're going through tests. We're going through tough times. And there's nothing wrong with praying, Lord, if it can be your will, spare me. But we need to always add, but Lord, what I really want is for you to glorify your name with me. Whatever it takes, glorify your name. If it takes this trial for you to get glory, then do it. Glorify your name. That's what we want, God to get his name glorified through us. And the Father speaks to the Son again here. He's done that before in the ministry of Jesus. Remember, he did it when Jesus was baptized. He spoke from heaven. And you remember when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John? The Father spoke. The Father spoke. Well, he's speaking again. And listen, we know. All you have to do is read the Gospels. The Father glorified his name over and over and over in the life of Jesus, the life of Christ, his ministry. But he glorified it even more in the death of Jesus on the cross. The way God gets glory is for his divine attributes, his character, to be on display so people can see it. That's how God gets glory. And the attributes of God are more visible on the cross than at any other time. I want you to think about that. Where do we see the love of God most clearly demonstrated? When Jesus was on the cross, paying for our sins. You see the love of God more clearly there than any other time. When do we see the justice of God? He's a just God. When do you see the justice of God demonstrated most clearly? When Jesus was on the cross. Because he was accepting the wrath of God for our sins. He was paying for our sins. We see the justice of God very clearly when Jesus was on the cross. Where do we see the wisdom of God displayed most clearly? When Jesus was on the cross. The wisdom of God and how he chose to redeem mankind. It's an incredible plan that God had. You see that demonstrated on the cross when Jesus paid for our sins. Where do we see the power of God most on display? When Jesus was on the cross paying for our sins. Conquering hell, conquering Satan, conquering death. He did that on the cross. You see the power of God there. So when is God most glorified? When Jesus was on the cross, paying for our sins. And so God the Father is saying to God the Son, I most certainly will glorify my name through what you're about to do. So Jesus prays, Father, get glory. And the Father says, I will get glory. And he did. And on a smaller scale, guys, that's an example for us. It's a great prayer to pray, no matter what you're praying for, no matter what we're asking him for. If we're asking him for healing, it's okay. God says make your request known. Ask for healing. But then say, Father, what I really want is for you to get glory. We want financial provision. There's nothing wrong with praying for that. God, you know my needs. I pray for these needs. But what I really want is for you to get glory. Do we need wisdom to make a decision? There's nothing wrong with praying for that. God commands us to pray for that wisdom. But then we need to add, but Lord, what I really want is for you to get glory through this decision. If we're praying for relationships, maybe with friends or family members, things aren't quite as good as we'd like for them to be, and we're praying for those relationships, that's a good thing to pray for. But then to say, Father, what I really want is for you to get glory. And we're praying for our church. Sometimes in our churches, things aren't like we'd like for them to be. But Father, what I really want is for you to get glory. We're praying for our nation. I hope you're praying for our nation. Our nation needs prayer like never before. And then we need to say, but Father, what I really want is for you to get glory through our nation. However you want to do it. That's what we need to pray for. That Jesus set the example. He went through the most horrific experience we could ever. We can't really imagine it. It started to say we could ever imagine it. We can't imagine it. It was awesome, awful, horrific. And yet he did it to bring glory to God, his Father. And we can go through smaller experiences to do the same thing. So that's what our prayer is. Let's pray it right now, okay? Let's pray. Whatever happens to us, it'll bring God glory. Father, thank you so much for putting this in your word. Thank you for showing us what Jesus did, that instead of praying that you would save him from that hour, that he would tell us so we could hear, and you would record it in your scripture so it would be for us to read, that Jesus came for this very hour. And Father, when he prayed the ultimate prayer that you would get glory through his death, and you said very clearly, that's what I will do. Lord, we thank you that you got the most glory you've ever gotten when Jesus was on the cross. Now, Lord, you've given us an opportunity to live for you. We belong to you through Jesus. We're your kids. And Lord, we know we don't have much time in this life. Our days are numbered. It's short. One of these days we're going to be with you. We're going to have the new bodies. So Lord, right now, the time we have left, we want you to get glory through our lives. Whether we live or die, whether we're healthy or sick, whether we have financial means or none, whether we're impoverished, whether we have good relationships with family and friends or not, we want you to get glory. And Lord, sometimes we can't understand that very well. Sometimes we look through a glass darkly and we have a hard time understanding your ways. And we know your ways are higher than our ways, as the heavens are higher than the earth. But Lord, our prayer is, no matter what happens, whether we understand it or not, we want to be more like Jesus and we want to pray with Jesus, Father, glorify your name in our lives. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.